And only two more Talking Golf with Ann Liguori shows this season. This one and next Sunday. Well, I hope you have enjoyed the weekly show, which we normally start the Sunday before the Masters starts in April and continuing through Labor Day weekend. And I cannot believe Labor Day weekend is next weekend. I mean, where has the summer gone? It's nuts. And in golf, beyond next weekend, there is still so much to talk about, as you know, particularly the famed Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black in her own backyard the week of September 22nd. So be sure to connect with me on social media so you can continue to see and hear my golf content. My Instagram is at the Ann Liguori, and it's Ann Liguori on everything else, Facebook fan page, LinkedIn, Twitter, and love to hear from you. And beyond golf, the U.S. Open Tennis Championship, the main draw, actually begins today, which is a huge change. First of all, I went to the National Tennis Center last Tuesday to pick up my media credential, and the place was packed. The qualifying tournament was taking place, in addition to the mixed doubles tournament, which was moved from what is normally they play, you know, these next 2 weeks, to this past Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. And they had record crowds there. They had 78,000 people just for the mixed doubles. And the Italian team of Sara Errani and Andrea Vavasori won, defending their title. They won in three sets. And the main singles draw actually starts today instead of where it would normally start tomorrow. And it's a very significant move because for the first time in U.S. Open history, in the Open era, the main draw has expanded to 15 days, which is what the Australian Open and the French Open do. So, of course, this move increases fan access and ticket sales for sure. So I will be out there starting tomorrow, but it's just incredible that now it's a 15-day tournament championship instead of 14 days. And there are 48 Americans, by the way, competing in the singles draw, 25 women, 23 men, and the 23 American men in the draw is the most American men in the U.S. Open draw since 1997. So that's significant as well. Should be a great championship. All right, well, the final day of the season of the PGA Tour and the FedEx Cup champion will be crowned today in the final round of the Tour Championship at East Lake Woodlands in Atlanta, Georgia. And what a doozy we should have for this final round. Well, yesterday's third round just oozed with excitement and shot making, and Patrick Cantlay and Tommy Fleetwood share the lead at 16 under. They are two shots ahead of Russell Henley, three shots ahead of Keegan Bradley, four shots ahead of Scottie Scheffler. And Fleetwood started the weekend with a share of the lead, and yesterday led by as many as three until like disaster struck on the 220-yard par 3 15th hole. He smacked his 6-iron into the water, but he rallied back strong. He birdied 16, birdied 17, regained the share of the lead. And so Fleetwood yesterday with a double, two bogeys, seven birdies, he shot a 367. Now, Patrick Cantlay shot a bogey-free 664 yesterday. That's the lowest round he's had since January. And he birdied four of his last five holes. What a finish for Patrick Cantlay yesterday. He has won, what, eight times on the PGA Tour, but not since 2022. He did win the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup in 2021, so obviously he has very positive memories of East Lake Woodlands. And then you have Russell Henley. He just couldn't get going yesterday. He started the third round with a share of the lead, but he finally birdied on 18. At 14 under, Russell Henley is only two shots behind. Then you have Keegan Bradley. He fired the round of the day with a 63. That ties his low round of the season. Take that, all of you who say that the cap should not pick himself to play in the Ryder Cup. Unbelievable. And he holes out for eagle from 57 yards on the sixth hole. So Keegan Bradley is only three shots behind. And then, of course, Scottie Scheffler at 12 under, only four shots back. Seems like I said something familiar last Sunday, and he rallied back to win the BMW Championship. And, yeah, Scotty had what I would call a mediocre round for him yesterday. His putter was just not working great. He missed a couple putts for birdie inside 10 feet. Afterwards, he said he felt a bit off on his reads. And he had a bogey-bogey start yesterday. But then he birdied 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, and carded a 4 under 66 and wasn't playing great golf. So everybody knows, including Scotty, that he can turn it around today and get his putter working and perhaps pull off another incredible win. And there are so many subplots on this leaderboard. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood, could he finally win his first PGA Tour event? This is his 164th start, and he has yet to have a PGA Tour title on his incredible resume, which includes 7 European Tour wins. He lost by 1 at the Travelers. He lost by 1 at the FedEx St. Jude. I believe it will be his 3rd attempt to close out a win after being either a leader or co-leader after 54 holes. And then you have to look at Patrick Cantlay just pouring it on in this final tournament of the season, just a few weeks before the Ryder Cup. He is 15th in the Ryder Cup points standings and has always had a good Ryder Cup record. His record overall is 5-2-1. He's played in 2 previous Ryder Cups. And so lots of experience on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Of course, he had that Hatgate controversy in Marco Simone in 2023, where he was 2-2-0. In 2021, Cantlay was undefeated at 3-0-1. So will Captain Keegan pick him to team up with his buddy Xander Schauffele, who automatically made the team as one of the top 6? Schauffele is number 3 on the Ryder Cup point standings list. So this afternoon, Cantlay hopes to win his 9th PGA Tour title and his first in a long, long time since the 2022 BMW Championship. And of course, you know, will Scotty Scheffler rally back? That's another subplot. He's won 5 titles this season already. And then Keegan Bradley, he had a 7 under 63 and a 6 under 64. Talk about pouring it on when it matters the most, man. It certainly would make it easier for him to pick himself for the, you know, U.S. Ryder Cup team. And that announcement, as I said, will be made Wednesday at 10 a.m. So can't wait for that. And earlier in the week, the new PGA Tour CEO, Brian Rolapp, he announced that the PGA Tour is creating a future competition committee and that none other than Tiger Woods will be chairing that committee. And Rolapp said that the purpose of the committee will be to design the best professional golf competitive model in the world for the benefit of PGA Tour fans, players, and their partners. And he said it's not just incremental change. He said it will be significant change. So Rolapp, who spent 22 years with the NFL, he was their chief marketing and business officer, I believe he is going to make some major moves with the PGA Tour. He wants to aggressively build, he said, on the foundation that the tour has. And it sounds like he's a man of action, so we'll see what he does. But, you know, the PGA Tour certainly finds ways to keep Tiger involved, front and center. And so this committee is going to be headed by Tiger. We'll see how much it changes. And, you know, the PGA Tour TV package comes up for bid in a couple of years. So they'll be dealing with that. And they also announced their 2026 schedule. And there are a lot of changes. The PGA Tour is returning to the Doral in Miami. Obviously, President Trump owning the Doral. It will be called the Miami Championship. It is scheduled for the week of April 27th through May 3rd. It will be a signature event. And so there will be 9 signature events on the PGA Tour schedule next year, which is one more than this year. And they will be, let's see, well, there are going to be like 5 big events within a 6-week period. So that's going to be interesting to see how many of the top players will make them. Obviously, you have the Masters, the RBC Heritage, now the Miami Championship, the Truist Championship in Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship. So 5 big tournaments in a 6-week period. We'll talk more about this schedule in a minute, but that will be, you know, there are some big changes next year. So we're going to talk about the Tour Championship and the schedule change with Golf Week's Adam Shupak. He'll join us after the 7:20 break. And then after the 7:40 break, Mark Canizero of the New York Post will join us as we speculate on the U.S. Ryder Cup picks And whether Keegan Bradley will pick himself to play is one of the six captains' picks. The moment of truth is only a few days away. And Golf Insiders are saying that Keegan Bradley may already have his team in place and that he will play. And if that is the case, he would become the first Ryder Cup playing captain since Arnold Palmer in 1963. But I tell you, after his play this week, I mean, he sure is making it easier on himself to pick himself. So we'll talk about that more in the next couple of segments. The LPGA tours in Canada for the CPKC Women's Open in Ontario. And Canadian Brooke Henderson is tied with Minji Lee of Australia for the lead at 11 under. Three shots ahead. And Brooke Henderson had the best round on the day with a 65, six birdies, and an eagle. She actually eagled from a bunker on the 17th hole. You gotta love that. The 7th U.S. Senior Women's Open is being played at San Diego Country Club. Three women are tied for the lead at 4-under. Maria McBride, Becky Morgan, and Karina Kalaporis. She's a teaching pro, Karina. All three lead by three shots over Ashley Bunch and Liza Lott Newman. And Annika Sorenstam, she was the first round leader. Good for her. PGA Tour Champions is in Detroit, the Alley Challenge. Ernie Els at 12-under. Has a one-shot lead over Stuart Sink. Ernie shot a 5-under yesterday. You heard Ernie Els on this show a few weeks back. The guy can still play lights out. It's great to see. And we'll talk to Adam Shupak about this, but at a LIV golf tournament in Detroit, a reporter who was given a credential to the LIV event had his credential taken away from him when he brought up the Saudi Public Investment Fund in an interview that he did with Pat Perez. Wild. Anyway, I can't wait to talk about all of that and the season finale, the Tour Championship, with Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week, and USA Today, and author of Dean Beeman's Golf Driving Force. So we'll get to that in a second, and of course, Mark Canizero at 7:40. But first, let me tell you that IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. IB Cool offers multifunctional, intelligent moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice fill technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code AN20. For 20% off regularly priced items at www.ibkol.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, good morning, and welcome back to Talkin' Golf on this Sunday morning. It is the season finale of the Tour Championship at East Lake Woodlands. And joining me now to talk about it is Adam Shupak, senior writer, Golf Week and USA Today, and author Dean Beeman, Golf's Driving Force. Hey, Adam, welcome to Talking Golf.
Yeah, good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, this Tour Championship leaderboard has more subplots than, I don't know, all the drama series that I watch on Netflix. It is incredible.
Yeah, we're set up for a good final round. I mean, I think everybody wants to see Tommy Fleetwood finally get over, you know, get across the finish line and get that first win on the PGA Tour. He's won plenty on the DP World Tour, but there've been too many close calls. I'm sure you were there for Travelers back in June, and then just a few weeks ago at the FedEx St. Jude, squandered a late lead on the closing couple holes. And he's right back in it again, tied with Patrick Cantlay, and he hasn't won in 3 years, which is very surprising to me. And lots of great names, you know, Keegan Bradley, U.S. Ryder Cup captain, just three back, and Scotty trying to be the first to win back-to-back FedEx Cup champions, like you said. A lot of great storylines today.
And Fleetwood, boy, my heart dropped when he smacked that 6-iron into the water for that double. But then he came back and he birdied 16 and 17 yesterday to regain a share of the lead. So, I don't know, he's gone through so many close calls. It's making him stronger, and you got to be impressed by this guy. When he had all those heartbreaks, he still goes out there, signs autographs for the fans, never you know, says no to an interview, even after such tough losses. He is just a super guy, I think, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah, everybody loves Tommy, and I mean, I think he's got the right mentality. You know, he's got it just looking at as I got another opportunity. He's right there again, and he's getting to do what he loves to do. He said he's in contention, and he's got a chance. What more can he ask for? I think that's a pretty good attitude to not put too much pressure on himself today. I think it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster for him because that seems to be, you know, his mentality, and you know, he's got. I think it's not, this is not the John Deere Classic. This is a stacked leaderboard. It's the top 30, but man, it would be something if like he goes from having never won. He's won over $33 million and without a victory on the PGA Tour. And today he could win $10 million for his first victory and get two trophies. Even he's kind of in on the joke and realizes that would be pretty hilarious if he, if he finally gets it done today.
Unbelievable, right? And then Patrick Cantlay, who really hasn't done much this year, right? He shoots a bogey-free 6-under-64 yesterday, birdieing four of the last five holes. And, you know, he's won seven times on the PGA Tour, but not for a number of years. What do you think of Patrick Cantlay's play this season?
Yeah, I love watching him play, but he, other than the slow part of it.
Yeah, right.
But he's been an enigma. I mean, he's missed the cut in three of the four majors. He's kind of like our Ian Poulter with the Ryder Cup. The guy just, you know, comes through and in some really sticky situations, he's clutch in the team championships. But in the big tournaments, other than, you know, he did win the FedEx Cup before and has won some of these FedEx Cup events. But I just can't figure out why he hasn't had a better major championship record to this point. You know, I think getting the victory today would be really big for him to kind of get that monkey off his back and show that he's progressed. One big thing for him, he just added a putting coach just a few weeks ago at the start of the FedEx St. Jude. Same putting coach as Scotty Scheffler and a lot of the top players on the PGA Tour. And I think it's, you know, it's making a difference and we're seeing it really quickly. Sometimes when you get a new coach, that's all it takes is that new set of eyes, something different. And all of a sudden he's putting much better.
That's a good point. And he is 15th on the Ryder Cup points list, Adam. If you were to guess, do you think he'll be one of the captain's picks based on, you know, his previous two Ryder Cups and his great record with Ryder Cup?
I do. I think I would take him if he was 40th, kind of like Ian Poulter. Just some of the things he's done when, you know, making that big putt against Rory, even in the President's Cup just last year, the way he took down Siwoo Kim and in that great match on Saturday, that was a real turning point for the Team USA. He does special things in these matches. I don't know why he can get up for those so much better than a regular event. And he makes a great pairing with Xander Schauffele, and Xander hasn't had the best of years. So I think having those two guys together makes for a tremendous team for Team USA.
And there may or may not be a hat gate this time around at Bethpage.
Yeah.
Because that was...
Yeah, hopefully...
Go ahead.
Hopefully, in the last 2 years, they've got him fitted, and I think he's gonna wear a hat. I think Keegan's probably made sure of that.
Russell Henley just really didn't get much going yesterday. He did birdie the 18th. He's two behind. He's already on that Ryder Cup team, number what is he? Four of the top six.
Yeah.
And Keegan Bradley, unbelievable with a 63. And the eagle on the sixth hole, he's only three shots back at him.
Yeah, I think this was, I think he wants to pick himself, but he's put himself in a position where at number 11, you know, you start. It almost looks bad to pick yourself over other guys ahead of him. He said originally, you know, he was going to have to be in the top six, and then kind of modified that once he won at the Travelers. And the fact is, the guys want him to play. I just don't know if he should be doing both jobs. Like, let's just concentrate on playing. If you're going to play, let's play. And I really would love to see Jim Furyk, Brant Snedeker take a little bit of a larger role in the kind of captain role, one of them or both of them. And then the other thing I've been kicking around, I you know, the more I talk about it, the more I think it could happen, is I feel like Tiger, you know, he this really was supposed to be his job, but he said he was too busy with everything else going on with the PGA Tour and LIV. And while nothing's really come to fruition with that in terms of getting everybody back together, you know, if he just steps in next week or so, if they talk about this on Wednesday, I could see it really happening. I think Tiger would be a huge presence, a great thing for Team USA. And I think they need someone to do some, you know, just during the event, Keegan's probably done a great job getting things prepared and know, and he can be involved. But I just think if you want him to do his perform his best during the Ryder Cup, he probably should take a back seat to being the captain as well. He doesn't have to do the press conferences and all the other, you know, nitty gritty. Somebody's got to be out there really looking at how the guys are playing. And I think it should be Tiger. If not Tiger, maybe Jordan Spieth or Ricky Fowler come and be an extra vice captain at the last minute. I just think that that Keegan, I think he needs to play. He's one of the 12 best Americans. He's 10th in the world. He was 11th in the points. And he's showing that he's still playing some really darn good golf. He could go out and win this thing today.
So you're saying that if he picks himself to play, which you think will happen, and I think he should play. You're saying he should relinquish being a captain or just be the captain but let the other guys call the shots?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to technically relinquish it, but I think he should make it very clear that, like, these guys are that Jim Furyk or somebody else is kind of the de facto captain, and he's going to focus primarily on playing. I would just rather personally, I think it would be best if he wasn't the captain, just relinquish it. But I don't think he's going to go that far.
Yeah, I don't think so either. He won't. I think he's going to try to do both, which, you know, obviously will draw a lot of scrutiny if he doesn't play well. But I'm going to talk a lot about that with Mark Canizero, who was actually at Bethpage earlier in the week when Keegan made an appearance real quick, in and out, right? And he gave away a bunch of Ryder Cup tickets. Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you, since you've been at the Tour Championships this past week, the PGA Tour CEO, Brian Rolapp, he spoke and said that he wants to aggressively build on the foundation that the Tour has, and they picked Tiger to head up this competition committee. So it sounds like there's going to be some major changes. What are your thoughts about what kind of changes they may do?
Yeah, I think that changes coming, that's for sure. He made that quite clear. And I think having Tiger involved is really important because Brian comes from the football world. He's not part of the golf ecosystem. It's the first time that the PGA Tour has had a leader who hasn't been ingrained in the PGA Tour and its business practices, you know, from Joe Dye to Dean Beeman to Tim Fincham and currently Jay Monahan. It's always been someone who kind of was involved in the golf space, at least for a significant period of time. Brian doesn't have that. So I think having Tiger in this role is going to be very important to have that voice. Six players are going to be involved, making sure that it's kind of driven by the tour pros and what they feel is right. And also, you know, we got the businessmen who know what they want this to be, to grow and be a return on investment for the new PGA Tour investors. So I think there's going to be change. And the key word that came up to me was scarcity. I think Brian Rolapp thinks there are too many PGA Tour events. So I'm not saying the John Deere Classic's going away, but I think the PGA Tour will have a smaller schedule in the future, that each event will have more meaning, kind of the way the NFL, just there's only 17 weeks to the schedule, and the rest of the year we just wish it was going all the time, but it still stays in the public eye, and in the fact that we don't have it makes you want to see it and sit around the TV even more. And I think that's something that Brian Rolapp is going to bring to golf.
Well, as it is now, I mean, there's so many tournaments. And next year's schedule, they have 9 signature events, which is one more than this year. And it just seems like there's so many big events. Like, what, there's like 5 tournaments in 6 weeks when you talk about, you know, the Masters, the RBC Heritage, the Miami Championship, which is new, which will be at the Doral, the Truist Championship at Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship, another major. I mean, 5 big tourneys in a 6-week period.
Yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of the top players, they're not going to play all those events. It's too much.
It's a lot, and but those $20 million purses and no cuts are pretty appealing. I'm really surprised that they packed that new signature event right in that section. I'm not sure if that really works. I don't think that will last very long. I think that's something they'll clear up in the future. Next year is kind of a bridge year, just the way I think the Tour Championship this year, the changes they made kind of mid-season to make this if you made the top 30, everyone had a chance, got rid of the starting strokes. I think there's going to be some more things like that that are going to be brought to the PGA Tour schedule that will feel and look different, and hopefully it will be for the better.
Okay, I have to ask you about this podcast host in Michigan, because I know Golf Week wrote about it, who got a credential from LIV to cover the LIV event, but it was revoked by LIV when apparently he asked Pat Perez, a former LIV player who is now a LIV broadcaster, about the Saudi Public Investment Fund. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's pretty absurd. I mean, journalism is under attack. We see it. I feel it myself from time to time, and I'm really appalled that they would think podcast hosts would take down the interview just because they asked him to, and because they didn't like a particular question. To take away his credentials so he couldn't cover the event that's not right. And I'm glad that this became an issue, and hopefully the LIV Golf, they if any place needs to have people that want to cover it, come out and cover it. That tour needs to be, you don't even know really what's going on, and here's somebody who's actually showing some interest and concern and giving them some coverage. I thought that was a really bad way to go about handling the situation.
And I think the host kept the podcast up. I don't think he caved. He just lost his
credential. No, I don't think he did.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Adam, congrats to your dad, Les Shupak, who will be honored with the Dave Anderson Spotlight Award at our Met Golf Writers Association National Awards Dinner on October 7th. I mean, incredible. Your father is a public relations executive extraordinaire. I've worked with him for many, many years. He's been working in the golf biz for as long as I can remember. So I'm very happy for your dad and for you. Really, congratulations.
Thanks, Ann. Yeah, 40 plus years of being involved in golf in the Met area. He loves the game. I always say, why do you do this? But to him, it's just a labor of love, and it's meant a ton to him, and it's he's a big reason that why I got into the game, and my biggest fan in terms of reading my stories and stuff. And I'm still waiting for him to tell me he didn't like one of them.
He is definitely your biggest fan. He is so proud of you. Hey, thanks so much, Adam. Really appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the final round of the Tour Championship. And I'll definitely see you on October 7th at the Met Golf Writers Awards Dinner at Westchester Country Club.
That's for sure, and I'll see you at the Ryder Cup. We'll talk then.
That's right. Only a couple weeks away, right around the corner. Thanks so much, Adam Shupak. All right, coming up, we're going to connect with Mark Canizzaro of the New York Post. He was out with U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley last week at Bethpage, and we'll hear Mark's thoughts on all things USA Ryder Cup. But first, let me tell you that Ibicol Luxury Athleisure Wear for both men and women offers the highest performance-driven apparel to look and feel your best on and off the course. Ibicol offers multifunctional, intelligent, moisture sensor fabrics featuring the exclusive ice field technology that cools your skin up to 5 degrees so you can stay cool, comfortable, and odor-free on hot and humid days. Use promo code AN20 for 20% off regularly priced items. www.ibkul.com.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Welcome back to Talkin' Golf on this Sunday morning. And the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black is only a few weeks away. And U.S. Ryder Cup captain Keegan Bradley will announce his 6 captain's picks this Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Can't wait for that. And Keegan made a quick trip to Bethpage last week, and Mark Canizzaro of the New York Post was there to witness it all. Hey, Mark, welcome to Talkin' Golf. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ann. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Oh, boy, I'm excited, aren't you, for all this going on and Keegan Bradley was just here, just a quick trip, and you were there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool he had some meetings and some appearances, and they were doing some little bit of B-roll production for some, you know, some of the, you know, for the television production, you know, once the Ryder Cup comes. The best thing really of the whole, you know, quick visit was a very well executed plan and a thing that the PGA of America did with Keegan giving out about 20 tickets to random players out in the red course over at Bethpage. Just he was driving around and stopping at holes and just taking pictures of the guys and playing and just saying, "Hey, you want Ryder Cup tickets?" And he was just handing them out. I mean, I kind of followed that. We myself and our post photographer kind of cruised around and captured all of that content. And I spoke to several of the guys that got the tickets, and like some of them were shaking. They were so like, you know, beside themselves. So that was a really cool element to it. Did have a chance to talk to Keegan afterwards, which was pretty cool. And, you know, I don't think that there's been I've covered every Ryder Cup since 1997, Ann, and I don't think I've felt more anticipation for a captain's pick day than I do for Wednesday, just because of the element, you know, of Keegan picking himself, which I think he will.
Yeah, I think he will too. But I guess the big question is, do you think he already has those six captain's picks, including himself, or is it really going to wind down to what happens today?
I think they're pretty well solidified. Here's the one caveat I would throw in. To me, the one wild card here, a little bit, would be Sam Burns, who is a magnificent putter. He was 3-0-1 in the President's Cup, and he also, oh by the way, happens to be best friends with Scottie Scheffler, and was a good. It likes to be paired Scheffler with Burns. Burns, I think, would have to win the Tour Championship today for that to happen. He's 16th on the list. I feel like Keegan has to pick Patrick Cantlay. Cantlay's been too good in team play and in both President's Cup and Ryder Cup. I believe you actually just referenced it a moment ago with, you know, his pairing with Schauffele when you were just speaking to Adam. The toughness he showed in resilience and whatnot in Italy 2 years ago where I was. I think he has to be on the team even though he's 15th. So I feel like Bradley does have everything in hand here. I think the guys that are going to be left out that will be disappointed, in my opinion, will be Maverick McNealy, who's 10th on the list, and a really, really good putter. But Maverick has not done really well in major championships and some of the bigger tournaments. Even though he's a good putter, I think that's going to be a strike against him. And I'm kind of wondering, you know, Brian Harman is a bulldog as well, but he's not super long. Bethpage Black, as you know, Ann, from being here, is a big ballpark.
Oh, yeah, it's a bear.
So I think a guy like Andrew Novak, who's 13th on the list and has a really good year, he is not playing well as of late as he was earlier. So I think Keegan's captain's picks are going to be JT, who's at 7. You got to kind of pick him. Colin Morikawa, again, hasn't had a great year, but has a lot of experience. Ben Griffin has been there all year, consistent. He's up there. He's won twice. He has to be on that team. I think, as we said, Keegan's going to pick himself, and I think he's going to pick Cameron Young.
Yeah, I do too.
If Cam is 14th on the list, but he is a bomber. He's local, as you know. He has had great success at Bethpage as a younger guy. He won the New York State Open there.
Grew up playing Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're looking at maybe Cam Young and Cantlay. Now, Burns, yep, if he goes and wins, could maybe throw a monkey wrench in it. But I feel like that's the group that's going to be in there.
I agree. So it would be JT, Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Keegan, who will pick himself. We both agree on that. Bypass Brian Harman, bypass Andrew Novak, pick Cameron Young and Patrick Cantlay. And then, of course, you know, Chris Gutterup would be great from New Jersey, but I think he's just going to miss out.
I was here for the British Open. I didn't cover the Scottish, but I had a close eye on him while I was over there. That Chris made was awesome. And the problem is, he hasn't had a really good FedEx Cup run here, and that's what he needed. He didn't play well in the earlier. I know he's kind of up there with a decent score. I think he shot his own number, I want to say, yesterday. So he's respectable, but I think he needed to have a big run in the FedEx Cup. You know, because he's as long as anybody. He's a huge bomber.
Unbelievable. He's right now tied for 10th. He shot a 1-under yesterday, but he's 8-under overall. So he's, 8 shots back. I think he really has to have a great day today for sure. But, and I don't think Sam Burns is going to do it. I don't think he's going to make it, even though he's great friends with Scheffler. That's what Zach Johnson did. He put all these buddies together, and it didn't really work out. But getting back to Keegan Bradley, if he plays, and I think he's going to pick himself, the scrutiny and pressure on him is going to be so intense. If he plays poorly, Mark, he'll never hear the end of it. And, it looks like the fireworks already started, because when Rory McIlroy said that it's virtually impossible to do both, be a captain and play, Keegan said, well, how does he know? He's never done it. So I love that answer, right? I think there's going to be – I think the European team is hoping he plays, because I feel that they think that the pressure and the scrutiny and all the distractions that would come with a player captain will really adversely affect the U.S. team. So I think they're kind of quietly hoping that he does play.
I agree with you there, and I made a point in a column I wrote the other day after I was out there at Bethpage. Keegan's on that team. He's got a bullseye on his back for that Ryder Cup, for the European Ryder Cup team. If you remember, Ann, over the years, back in the day when Hal Sutton paired Tiger and Phil together, for example, and they were taken down handily. I feel like, and again, like when anybody that played Tiger, if anybody from Europe beat Tiger, any team or in singles, that to me was worth more than the point in the standings for that week. It was worth more than that because of it charged up the team room. And I think if because of Keegan's, intensity and his passion and just who he is, and the fact that he will be the first Ryder Cup, playing captain, anybody in Europe that takes a Keegan Bradley team down, I'm telling you, that's going to be worth more than a point. And because these guys, it'll just charge these guys up. So there is, I feel the same way to some degree about the Bethpage Black, as much as everybody thinks it's going to be a disadvantage. I think Europe is going to embrace it. The madness of Bethpage and the severe underdog element. And in the same way, I think they're going to embrace Keegan playing because, he's a target. And you're right. There's going to be, there's potential to be massive criticism if he plays poorly. And then everybody's going to be like, well, then why didn't you pick Brian Harman or Novak or name your guy, Sam Burns or McNeely, say. McNeely's been high up on the list. As I said in the column, I don't think that you can't play scared. You can't play Ryder Cup scared. You got to go in. Listen, Keegan has been in fantastic form all year, and now he's putting a stamp on it right now in Atlanta. You can't play scared. You just got to go after it, and that's why that's part of the reason I believe he should be there. Other than the fact that he's clearly one of the top 12 players in the U.S. And the other thing is the guys. It's not like there's guys on the U.S. team that don't want to play. I mean, there's been guys like Cantley who have been on the bubble that have been public saying they think he should play.
That's right.
So there's no real pushback anywhere, and I don't really believe, that there's any pushback even off the record from guys rolling their eyes and saying, he's trying to, whatever. I just don't see that. So I think it's a no-brainer on all levels, and I'm glad that he's playing well this week because it really just kind of solidifies the fact that he's been, one of the top 12 players in the U.S.,
right, you can see his passion, you can see his feistiness, you can see his competitive drive. At the last Ryder Cup in 2023 at Marco Simone, he deserved to be on that team. He was 10 in the standings, and he got overlooked by Zach Johnson, the U.S. captain back then, and I just think all that has been building up. Do you think, from a leadership standpoint, he can multitask? Because a lot of guys can't. A lot of men are linear in their thinking. They'll tell me that because I've interviewed enough, guys who, and we talk about that subject. Is he that different where he can kind of juggle playing and being the captain? Because, the fact that he's playing so well this week after, you know, making that quick trip and all the Ryder Cup responsibilities that he's had up until this point. And he's playing great this weekend. Shows that, to me, that he can do it. He has that, you know, that tunnel vision, which is extraordinary. Well, a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah, I would say that, and you just referenced partially to it there, I would say that his body of work in the last year and the way he's played while doing all this stuff. I mean, you hear Ryder, I've heard Ryder Cup captains every year talk about how, you know, the grind that it is to, you know, to put everything together, all the minutia, you know, the uniforms, all the stuff, whatever, the non-golf stuff. And that has not fazed Keegan in the least. So I think he's proven that he's a pretty good multitasker. And the other thing is, and I'm going to say it's overlooked, but you have to look at the fact that Jim Furyk is one of his vice captains. Furyk has done this before. He's been a Ryder Cup captain. He's been a President's Cup captain. You know, you got Snedeker, you got some veteran leadership on there. You got a Webb Simpson who was also, you know, has been an integral part of the playing tour over the last few years, although he hasn't played well of late. I think these pairings and whatnot, there's not a lot of volatility in terms of who's deciding who's going to play when, at the moment. I mean, these guys, they have a plan and analytics and other stuff going way into this stuff. So it's not like, oh my gosh, Keegan's playing in the morning on Friday. Who's he going to pair on Friday afternoon? This stuff is all kind of done in advance. You know what I mean? And unless a guy plays really, really poorly in the morning and you got to shift him out, you know, or he's ill or whatever, and you got to shift him out if you were planning on playing in the afternoon. I think those decisions are, it's overrated how those decisions are made in the moment. I think there are some at times, but I think this stuff is kind of set already will be set already once the team is set. And, you know, this thing kind of runs itself once the competition starts, in my opinion. And I don't think these press conferences that he's got to do afterwards, quite frankly, and you've covered Ryder Cups before, this is the least access that we, the media, have to these players and captains, you know, in any tournament all year. They parade these guys in for 10 minutes and then they parade them out. You know, I don't think media is a very, very large, time grab for these guys and for Keegan. So I think all of this stuff is overrated. I think the Rory stuff saying he's saying you can't do both was just a little bit of gamesmanship on Rory's part, in my opinion.
I love it. And it's starting already. It's going to add so much intrigue, you know, to this Ryder Cup with Keegan picking himself and being the captain, which I think is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, I've covered every Ryder Cup since Brookline, so I'm right in there. I loved Marco Simone. That was probably one of my favorites, obviously, outside of Rome, Italy. But real quick, what would be your favorite Ryder Cup memory to date?
Brookline is hard to top just because of the dramatics of it. But for me, in a weird way, and it was my first, which was 97, and it was in Valderrama, and Seve was the captain for Europe, right. And Tom Kite was the captain for the U.S. And I don't want to take anything from Tom Kite, but Tom Kite gave off the vibe of like a camp counselor that wanted everybody to participate, and Seve was riding around in that blue, you know, Ryder Cup card of his with his thumb pressed on every guy's, the back of everybody's guy's neck, basically. I mean, I thought that, he, you know, that Seve just so badly, you know, out-captained and schooled Kite in that Ryder Cup. It was stark to me. And I just never forget the intimidation factor of Seve rolling around and just kind of had the hairy eyeball over everybody, you know, so on the European team. So that was kind of my favorite, but it was all, you know, it was because it was my first, too,
sure.
Which was kind of cool.
And any memory of Seve is special, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks so much for getting up early for us. Appreciate your insight. It's going to be exciting to hear who the six captains' picks will be when Keegan announces it Wednesday at 10, and I'll see you at Bethpage.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Thanks for having me on.
Have fun. My thanks to Mark Canizzaro, to Adam Shupak, to Rami Levine in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann LaGore is brought to you by IB Cool Luxury Athleisure Apparel for Men and Women, featuring the exclusive Iceville cooling technology along with UPF 50 plus sun protection. Visit ibkol.com to learn more. Hey, enjoy the final round of the Tour Championship. Will Tommy Fleetwood finally win his first PGA Tour title? Fleetwood and Patrick Cantlay are tied for the lead at 16 under. Russell Henley is 2 behind. Keegan Bradley 3 back. Scottie Scheffler, 12 under, will start the final round four shots behind. The final pairing, Fleetwood and Cantlay, they get started at 1:44 this afternoon Eastern. Hey, have a great week, everybody. And I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talkin' Golf